with kicking off hour number three of the program here, Fox Sports Knoxville. Of course, AM, FM, and on the WKGN app, brought to you by Hops and Hollers, Tennessee Bar, doing Tennessee things, 937 North Central Street. Trivia tomorrow, and of course, a great place to catch the game at Hops over the weekend, and English Premier League football, home of the Arsenal Gunners fans here in Knoxville. So check out Hops and Hollers if you ever need an early. It's hard to find a good early morning spot to drink beer and watch soccer, football, you know, Hops and Hollers.
That's why we found it for you at Hops and Hollers.
Yeah. So recently, we as a station were kind of lumped in with the culture of negativity and that we were hurting recruiting and that we were, trolling the vocal minority that was against Butch Jones.
People are still calling it the vocal minority, by the way. Like, people on Facebook and some sheep on Twitter are still saying that it's just the vocal minority who don't like Butch Jones. They're loud, but there's only a couple of them.
The Butch Jones approval rating just came out from Vol Poll. 5.99%.
Could you say that one more time, please?
5.99%.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, we're starting to get into the margin of error here, like when you run a statistical study, you know, and it's like, okay, if the p-value is less than 0.05, we're going to reject the, you know, the null hypothesis, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's almost into the range where you would throw out the people that actually approve of him and just say that everyone disapproves. Like, there's a if the margin of error is less than 5%, you can just make this, like, the statement can be proven as a scientific fact that people disprove of the job Butch Jones is doing.
I ran a more scientific poll than the Vol poll after the game on Saturday. And the crazy thing to me is I actually came back with a higher approval percentage than 5.99%. I also had thousands more votes. I ran a poll, a bonus Sweet Pea Barbecue poll, by the way, if you're interested in some barbecue this week, head on over to Sweet Pea BBQ.
Sounds good.
Downtown Dive, 410 West Jackson, right off Merrillville Pike in South Knoxville.
Lunch.
SweetPeaBBQ.com. They'll also cater your tailgate. So if you want to win on Saturdays, I can guarantee you one win. Just have your tailgate catered by Sweet Pea's Barbecue.
It's critical.
The super special Sweet Pea Barbecue poll question post-swamp debacle was Butch Jones' approval rating. And I asked people, please retweet for accuracy. We want more votes. I did have some Kentucky fans retweet it to themselves, and it was quote tweeted saying, "Vote approve so that they don't fire this guy." So there might have been a little bit of tampering by SEC foes, which might explain the higher approval rating than 5.99%. 8,800 votes, 8,806 votes, 535 retweets. This thing traveled. The choices were strongly approve, approve, disapprove, strongly disapprove. Strongly approve of Butch Jones, 3%. I'm going to say there's some Kentucky fans in there.
Okay.
Approve, 7%. Disapprove, 28%. And strongly disapprove, 62%. 90% of people out of 8,800 disapprove of the job that Butch Jones is doing. And now we get 5.99, oddly enough, days after people have settled down.
It'll be interesting to see if we ran that poll again right before Georgia because of how that could happen to give people a little bit of time to settle down because you know in the heat of the moment.
Yep.
And I mean, I still feel that majority of those people who voted for the in the disapproval section are going to have that vote continuing forward. But I feel like it would sway back a little bit after people have had some time to die down. I don't think it should, but that's what I believe would happen.
Like, at this point, I don't think the job of this station is to convince people that Butch Jones is not a great coach. I think at this point, they know that.
Right.
I think now our job is to say, like what do you do, right? Like, at this point, like, you're Tennessee, you're a fan, you're an administrator. Like, what – maybe not what do you do, but, like, what is in the best interest of the university at this point? I saw a tweet yesterday. Like, yesterday was the – oh, God, what is it? 19-year anniversary of beating Florida in 1998, yesterday was?
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, you know, I watched the video as people spilled onto the field and the goalpost went down. They took one and chopped it up, and they took another one and threw it in the Tennessee River. I remember jumping down onto the field and, like, plucking off orange and white turf. You know, it's like...
Be careful. They might come get you for that.
They would now.
No, I mean, they might still come get you.
No.
They want to shut you up.
No. Oh, yeah. Trespassing. Yeah.
Hey, do we know what happened to the Rock? What did they paint over it with?
We talked about that yesterday, right? The fire Butch Jones and the Rock. People don't like Butch Jones at this point. That's clear, right? Like, the majority of Tennessee fans are not happy with the job Butch Jones has done. I don't like asking the public, should Tennessee fire Butch Jones question. Like, I think it gets a little too nasty too quick. I think the approval rating is a little bit more tactful way to do that. And if you'll notice, like, most of the people on this station, with the exception of immediately when Tennessee lost the game, when I said fire everyone, which could just mean everyone in the world should lose their job, not necessarily just around Tennessee. But, like, for the most part, I feel like we're pretty measured in what we say the answers are for Tennessee football, right? Like, we're pretty measured in how we think John Curry should act. Like, you don't fire him at halftime. You don't fire him on the plane. I know a lot of people wanted Butch Jones fired on the plane in Gainesville, Florida, and take over. I joked yesterday that you suspend Butch Jones for UMass and Georgia just to see what Larry Scott gives you. Obviously, they're not going to do that, and I wouldn't actually want it. Yes, I would. But, like, what do you do? What do you do now if you're Tennessee? Like, what is the best move for your football program? Are you in a position to conduct a coaching search? Are you financially stable enough to buy out Butch Jones, should it come to that? Is it possible at all for Butch Jones to salvage the season and regain the fans? Or is it
possible?
Is it too nasty? Because from now on, any mistake he makes moving forward is magnified to the nth degree, man. Like. I don't know that he can do enough at this point to save it unless he just starts, like, Nick Saban winning. And he can't do that.
I mean, you asked us at the beginning of the show, like, what do we do if we're John Curry at this point or if we're the athletic director of Tennessee? And you're putting your fillers out there. You're trying to figure out which coach would want to come here. And you, like, let the season play out. Just, like, I mean, because you obviously know he's not getting fired. Like, I guess if we lose to UMass, you got the cord right then and there, right? There's no other way. No other option that really you have on the table at that point. Are we in agreement on that? If somehow Butch Jones loses to UMass this Saturday, you just fire him right after the game?
Yeah.
So, even though I don't see that happening, Georgia win or lose, if it's a close game, like, I mean, I know there's going to be people wanting to fire him, but again, when you look at it from a business perspective, $12 million, that's a lot of money. So, you let it play out, you see who you can get, because I just don't want to do something where we fire a guy, and then we just don't think through who we're bringing in, and you bring in another Dooley. I don't see John Curry making that decision, but that's like the last thing I want. Because, again, I don't think Butch Jones is a great coach or a good game manager. It could be worse. And I don't – like, again, it goes back to my question of, do you see this guy winning an SEC championship? And if you don't, then you go ahead and you find the next guy. But you don't want to just fire him and then have no one to come in here at all.
They're not going to have no one to come in. Like, I mean, you can lob $5 million out there and attract a good coach. I mean,
you would hope so.
No, I mean, you can. Like this is not the situation when Butch Jones got here. Tennessee is financially stable. The roster is good. Like, it's not the same. The APR is taken care of. Like, and that's one of the things that Butch Jones did. Like, he came in and he fixed a lot of the issues. I think people would be pleased with Tennessee's current leadership. Like, Tennessee right now is much different than it was when Charlie Strong and Mike Gundy and all those guys turned you down and you had to find Butch Jones. By the way, like, he was the fifth or sixth choice. Like, let's not act like we got our guy and just hasn't panned out. Like, he wasn't your guy. You fell to him, and he had already taken a job at Colorado, and he walked back through the airport to get on a plane to come to Tennessee and interview for the job. Like, he was never your guy. He just became the guy. So, like, I completely disagree with people who say there's no way Tennessee could do better. It's a tough coaching market. We don't want to make the mistake. I agree you don't want to make the mistake, but the landscape is just so much different now.
And I think it was John talking about this yesterday with the launch of the SEC Network. The amount of money that you have to actually go out and throw at coaches now has gone up.
It's a two-part question. One is, I mean, you could fire him in 10 minutes. Like, at you know, 9:23 this morning and promote people on your staff, and they would hit the ground running and they would start operating the team. You could do that. But, I mean, one of the things that I've learned even in the last couple years of my life is that when you're dealing with people, lots of moving parts, and you have to wait on other people to give you feedback so you can make your next decision, things just take time. There are 2 points early in the season where you could make a change to your coach. Like, this past Sunday was one of them. But you weren't prepared for that because the team did win against Georgia Tech. They did win big against Indiana State. If they had beaten Florida, like, obviously, we're not having this conversation at all. You've got UMass and then Georgia. You got a bye. And then, who's after the bye? What am I?
South Carolina.
Buddy. South Carolina, just like last year.
Again. Right?
So there's 2 points where you can make a change early in the season. One would have been this week, but you're not going to do that. You're not prepared for it because you beat Georgia Tech, and I mean, you know, it's a huge decision. The other would be on the bye week. We see that happen all the time in the NFL. We see it happen all the time in college. If you're going to make a change midseason, the bye week's the time to do it. Now, John Curry has time to line up an entire schedule of what's going to happen when and how that's going to play out. Because I do agree.
You're saying he's got like 6 doomsday scenarios like lined up and ready to go?
I do agree that it takes time to do it right.
Agree.
Okay? You can fire the coach immediately and get guys. I mean, the guys over there are making tons of money. They will be willing to step into interim roles and do more and try and prove themselves for either a job here or a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's not the hard part. The hard part is how do you make sure it's a success long term. And that type of stuff takes time to get your ducks in a row, to line everything up. And so far, John Curry in those types of situations has just hit home run after home run after home run. I mean, his introductory press conference, I mean, we made fun of him and Beverly Davenport and how awkward that whole thing was. You haven't seen her talk to the media not one time since.
Nope. He said, I got this now.
Yeah, let me
When athletics is represented, it'll be me talking from
he
now
starts,
on.
You know, writing the email letter to the fans, which is, you know.
Kind of.
You know, it's
more than we were getting.
It at least gives people something. He does the will it help us win? What we have people call this show all summer before they hired John Curry saying, we just want to win. We just want to win. So he makes that his slogan.
Buddy, that's my mantra. Like, I just want to win. I don't care who it is.
I mean, that's a narrative you can get behind. That's a narrative that speaks to the fan that says, listen, I'm going to make the decisions that will help us win. The Lady Vol thing was one of the big kind of side issues around Dave Hart.
Yep.
He, you know, did it. A lot of people are like, I want him to say on day one, his first press conference, that he'll reinstate the Lady Vol thing. Well, you can't do that. That takes away from. But in time, he's knocked that one out of the park.
And there wasn't really even any waffling on it. I think it was just a matter of can we get this implemented. And as soon as we can, I'm going to announce it that this is happening. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't, and he could have done a lot more fanfare. He could have blown it up, right? He could have said, big press conference, Thursday before the Florida game. He could have said this on Monday and had media flying from all over. He just said, no, like this was an easy decision. It's stupid that it took this long. The Lady Vols are back. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you don't, but they're back. If you want to call them the Lady Vols, do it. If you don't. It's fine. But the logo's back. The brand is back. It was simple. I hope he can do something like that when it comes to football hire.
There's not a good point. There's not really a good spot the rest of the season to make a change mid-season once you get past the bye week. And so Georgia, I mean, I think the Georgia game is like a final exam for Butch Jones. And it's like one where you've got an F in the class and you really need like a, you know, a B plus A minus to just get a passing grade and get to take the next class.
Okay, but what is so is that what you're saying? Are you guys hinging it on the Georgia game now? Is that Butch Jones' future?
Yeah, I mean he's straight out of the Remember the Titans movie right now. Like he's got to basically
to
be perfect.
Win out, does he?
From a decision making standpoint.
I guess they got rid of Les Miles after the close loss to Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
After they scored the last touchdown but didn't get the snap off. So the precedent's been set there. They had all season, though, and just promoted the interim guy.
I mean, if they blast UMass and then beat Georgia by 2 touchdowns, you think they're not going to make a change?
Okay, go the opposite way. Like, they lose to Georgia the way they lost to Florida.
Yeah, I think you make a change. I would.
Georgia's going to be favored in that game.
Oh, by far.
So, but I mean, I'm not saying that's not an indictment to not be favored at home. Like, that is an indictment on Butch Jones that in year five, Kirby Smart in year two is favored to come into your house and beat you. I'm not saying that's not an indictment, but are you saying that if you lose that game at all, he's gone?
No, I'm saying I'm gonna grade his coaching. I'm not even going to grade the outcome. Yeah, I'm going to grade the coaching. I'm going to grade it, like, you know, just on how the team performs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to look at it. Really, when you're comparing Georgia and Tennessee's rosters side by side, they're on a fairly even playing field.
Yeah, Georgia's a little bit ahead, but yeah, you're right. Tennessee's the more experienced roster.
And Georgia's proving to you that a guy in year two that had no head coaching experience at a place that's very similar in prestige, in money, I mean, probably a little lower than all those things, but at least in the same, you know, ballpark, in the same part of the country, like, that they're ahead of you in year two, and you're hanging on to a guy in year five. I mean, Georgia's basically saying that you can take 1 year of 8-5 to get back to past where you are right now.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding at that point.
Like, once you hit that, you shouldn't plateau there. Like, we don't know what Georgia's going to do, right? Like,
right.
We don't know what the future holds, but, like, I don't know how good Notre Dame was, but going on the road and beating Notre Dame, like, that's a pretty, like, that Notre Dame team is not what Butch Jones faced in year two when he went to Oklahoma or Oregon or any of that. Like, it's a good win.
Georgia proves it both ways, though. Here's the really interesting part. Georgia's either going to get better and better under Kirby Smart and be a really good program and become the kind of the dominant East program, or they're going to plateau also and prove that you can get to where Butch Jones is much quicker and be stuck in the same boat with pretty much anybody. Like, Kirby Smart's going to prove that anybody with a brain can win 8 games at Georgia and also prove that anybody with a brain can win 8 games at Tennessee. And I believe that. They went 4-4 in the league last year. This team was 500 in the worst SEC East in the history of the conference. 500. That's average. Like, by definition, that is average. Butch Jones is producing average results in his money year at a top 10 to 15 program, job. Tennessee has everything.
Yeah.
Everything you could ask for. Right. It's not a hard place to win. In fact, it's an easy place to win when you compare it
when you're trying to win 8 or 9 games.
To the all the Power Five schools. Tennessee's an easy place to win when you start looking at, you know, 65 schools, 120 something schools. And that's the curve Butch Jones wants to get graded on, so we'll use it. It's easy to win here. You should be in the top 15 here, because guess what? It's a top 15 place.
Yeah.
And when you're getting into the top 25 because you're beating inferior opponents and just because you're Tennessee and then blowing it every time you play the best teams, that's a problem. It's not good enough. And Kirby Smart will
prove... I think people are
finally
starting to realize it's not good
enough. Kirby Smart will prove that anybody that just works hard at Georgia or Tennessee can go 500 in the league and can win their cupcake games and end up with 8 or 9 wins or 7 or 8 wins. I guess I should say 8 or 9, depending on the bowl game, because that's what both those teams did last year. 8-5 for Georgia, 9-4 for Tennessee, when you're counting the bowl games. And really, the Hail Mary is the difference between one or the other. Georgia's the ultimate litmus test. It's right there in front of you on the schedule at the exact point when you can make the midseason decision on Butch Jones. And we started this whole segment with his approval poll right now at 5.99%.
Great point by Jamie McKenzie. Kirby Smart in year two, by the way, had his starting quarterback go down in the first game of the season and took his backup on the road to beat Notre Dame. A true freshman backup on the road and beat Notre Dame. And frankly, Jake Fromm has looked better than anything Tennessee's trotted out. I mean, like, you remember the first time Nate Peterman gets thrown out, and then I get it that Fromm got to go in against whoever it was, like Georgia Southern. But, like, he looked like he had a clue. Like, he comes in and immediately throws a touchdown. Like, you're right. Like, that's coaching, man. That's having a guy ready to go. That's Jim Chaney, who, like him or hate him as an OC, is a pretty damn good quarterbacks guy.
It was the Appalachian State team that had a majority of their returners that took you to overtime last year in Neyland.
And Kirby Smart in year two with a true freshman backup quarterback blitzed App State.
Can you imagine the excuses you get if Butch Jones had to take Quentin Dormady as a true, or sorry, Jarrett Garantano as a true freshman last year and start him at Notre Dame and, you know, lost the football game. Yeah. Like, I mean.
Or even at home, you had to start him against App State and you probably would have lost.
Yeah.
Because, hell, you couldn't get it done with Dobbs.
I mean, it's. Georgia's a perfect comparison. It doesn't get much closer than that in lots of different areas.
Georgia and Kirby Smart's year two, I think, is a more than fair comparison for Butch Jones in year five.
Sure.
Because I will give Butch Jones those 2 years when he got here, there was a lot of mess to clean up, a lot of roster stuff to get right. Like, I'm throwing those away. Since then, it's fine to start comparing him to the Jim McElwains of the world, to the Kirby Smarts of the world.
And
he's getting out-dueled, man, everywhere.
I know people don't like the coordinator that's never been a head coach guy, and John Reed's even talked about how it seems to be less and less of a thing to hire those people straight to big schools, but there still has to be some immeasurable value in taking a guy like Kirby Smart, who has been in the locker room before and after winning a national championship.
Yep.
You know, being around a culture, a situation where the team has won every game on the schedule type of stuff. You know, it's gone through a type of season like that. And, you know, quite frankly, Butch Jones, he's never done that. Like, he's never reached the pinnacle of the profession.
No, he's kind of like,
as a coach, he doesn't know what it feels like.
And when he's won the division, he's kind of won it like tiebreaker style, right? Like, he hasn't won a conference championship game. He's just been awarded a championship because he, you know, lost three games but won the tiebreaker type stuff.
So, you know, he acts like a person that doesn't know what it feels like to win big. And I think that's probably what will ultimately get him, you know, forced out at Tennessee at some point, whether it's soon or at the end of the year or – I mean, even if he turns it around, that next year's schedule, there's that big bulge in the middle there that could cost him his job.
Hate those bulges in the middle.
Three and Out rolls on here from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Butch Jones' approval rating, 5.99% from the latest Vol poll. And what's funny is there's a lot more votes, you know, coming in as this thing gets more and more popular. It was over 1,500 Vol fans surveyed in this one, and obviously it was, you know, it was after the Florida game. So I'm with you, Davey. I do think it will probably tick up a little between now and Georgia, but you know, it's not going to go much.
Yeah, the damage is done at this point.
I mean, when you got the music stations in town talking about it, like it's over, right?
Like the probably close
music station on the way in talking about like looking at the rest of the schedule, trying to predict wins and losses, and basically like if Butch Jones is gonna survive the season. Vegas has spoken. Vegas is on a roll. Like Vegas nails the Florida Tennessee line. Did you know that one book even closed at 6.5? And so the fact that Florida didn't kick the extra point.
Good.
Cost
good.
Everybody money.
Good to all of you people who bet on Florida then.
Mm-hmm.
6.5. At that point, you just take a money line, you big jerks. Good. Good. I'm glad. Larry Scott's approval rating just announced on the Vol poll, 1,568 votes. 13.78%.
That felt quick.
Approval rating of Larry Scott. Yeah, he was up. He was up for a while. Butch Jones' approval rating of graduates or current UTK students, people who are alumni or current students, 4.9%, non-students, 6.96. East Tennessee likes Butch Jones more than anybody else, 7.3%. Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee, not big fans of Butch Jones. West Tennessee, 2.56% of West Tennessee voters like Butch Jones. Males, 5.26% like Butch Jones. 14.63% of females like Butch Jones because, you know, they're just nicer, I guess. Like, they just want to be able to say nice things about somebody, and I appreciate that. But you all know you're gossiping behind his back, so just vote with your heart. You liars. All of you people, you're just lying. Are you females lying that you like Butch Jones? You don't like Butch Jones. He doesn't like you. All right.
I like the approval rating for the lowest demo group. That's what I was.
Yeah, intelligent people.
About.
What do intelligent people? What do learned doctors learn?
Those with doctorate degrees, the smartest people in our country, the people that have earned the doctorate.
And there have to be at least 75 of them vote, according to the poll.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Yes. At least 75 people voted. The approval rating for Butch Jones, 0% among doctorate degree voters.
What is that, Davey?
It is the front page of the ESPN page, which Cody McClure actually just tweeted out, and it has a picture of John Kelly, and it just basically says, losing uniquely.
It's the front page of ESPN's college football section.
Oh, boy.
Ryan McGee.
Ah, Ryan McGee, UTK grad.
Has written, Rocky Top, you'll always be losing most uniquely.
Okay, so this is his bottom 10 of the week. let's see. UMass coming in at number 2, so that's good. I think UMass, did I read correctly, they've given up 16 sacks in their last 2 games? He calls them UMass, pretty funny. Baylor 3, FIU number 4, and number 5 in the bottom 10 for Ryan McGee, again a UTK grad. Good old Rocky Stop. 2-1. Honestly, Nebraska had this spot locked down. Then we saw the video of Butch Jones' autographed Tennessee jersey being burned by an angry fan on Saturday night. The shirt had been soaked in moonshine, which tells me that perhaps the Firestarters aren't real Tennessee fans. What? These days, any true Vol wouldn't have passed up an opportunity to drown their sorrows. Now I get it. Good job, Brian. UMass visits Knoxville next weekend, which feels like a surprisingly natural pillow fight of the week. But speaking of lockdowns, our next 2 teams already have the blah, 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 blah. Okay. So Tennessee, bottom 10, coming in at a 5th ranking, according to Ryan McGee.
Wait, so Charlotte is on here at 6, and that team's on Tennessee's schedule next week, and UTEP is embroiled in coaching controversy because they're so terrible, also on Tennessee's schedule next year.
If you're going to get to 8 wins, man, you got to schedule some guarantees.
Get them on the board.
You know, they saw Georgia Tech, and they knew how much time they'd have to spend on the out. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. UTEP's right here at 9th in his bottom 10 at 0-3. So Tennessee's schedule next year has 2 of the worst teams in all of college football on it.
You know, we've been talking about Tennessee's...
And they don't include ETSU.
Ouch.
Sorry, Davey.
No, you're fine. We've been talking about Butch Jones' approval rating. Well, I found a person who actually does approve of Butch Jones. I don't know if we should save this for later on.
Yeah, we have a whole segment planned out. What are you doing? We got the whole thing.
Well, I'm teasing it for the next segment.
This guy. You notice when he does this, he gets so eager with his things that he just can't help it. He just explodes them in there.
He's a premature segmenter.
Yeah. It's true.
Just exploding early. Just firing off the ball, offside.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's a false starter.
Mm-hmm.
Does it a lot. He gets so excited.
Listen,
I could say some other mean things right now. I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it. We'll get to the next.
Maybe Jarrett Guarantano didn't clap loud enough.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Davey Hudson the correct.
I just didn't get the sign.
Might have been what it was.
I didn't hear the signal.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the clapping for a second? Like, can we get rid of the clapping? Or do you like? Is the clapping okay?
When you're in the shotgun, man, that's. I mean, what do you?
Can we do the leg and the guard hit the center thing?
It hasn't changed. Like I just don't remember the clap. Last
Dobbs did it.
But did they do it just like this?
Yeah, just like. Yeah, he'd even do the fake clap.
Even on the road? On the road, he did the clap?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I just trusted him more to do it. I don't know. I don't know.
Josh, do they enter when they do the in-home visit? Do they ask the quarterback to stand?
Can you try to clap?
Can you clap for me, please?
I
didn't
see
how good a clapper you are.
No, yeah, I did not love the clapping. I don't know. Maybe it just felt weird this season because of Dormady's sleeves. Maybe it just gives it a different. I don't know. I haven't liked it. I especially didn't like it in the swamp because Florida started keying on it, and you only got one offsides penalty called on him. You only got it once.
They roll into Adrian Martinez's house, and he claps the lights on.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, man, buddy,
winner.
You are made for this offense.
Four-star
you fit
clapper.
Our system better than any quarterback we've ever met with.
It's a scheme thing.
You can't take advantage of a defense that well when that's your system. Like, you can't trick them. Like, did you notice one time on Saturday a guy jumped into the neutral zone? And we didn't snap it.
Oh, and the punt was incredible.
Oh, I went off.
I don't know
on
about
that.
Offense, but yeah, the punt was.
They did it once on offense too. We were in the red zone, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the punt
Florida,
was the worst.
I think we had a dummy call on to try to get him to jump off sides, and we do, And then we don't snap the football and they jump back. Now, one time they did it and they jumped and Trey Smith, wisely, the freshman, stood up and said, hey, look how he moved. And we got 5 yards. But no, yeah, they a couple of times Florida moved, once on the punt and then once in it, and we don't snap
it. It was like 4th and 4 on the punt, too, and if you do that, you get a first down, yeah. And you're coming out with the
but
offense.
But frankly,
so.
Butch Jones also teaches the offensive line not to move when you snap for an
offside. Well, we
saw
that happen a couple years ago.
Yeah, I got Nathan Peterman snapped in half, so maybe it's a good thing. I just got so mad that every time we did that, we just stood there. The offensive line just stands there because they scored a touchdown one time at Central Michigan 15 years ago.
Wait, remind the listeners and me what you're talking about. What's the Butch Jones plan?
Butch Jones does a thing where if the offensive line is set and someone jumps off sides, the center snaps the ball to the quarterback, but none of the offensive line move.
So there's no blocking.
There's nobody blocking.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole theory is that the defense doesn't see the line move, and it's a split second until they realize that the quarterback has the ball and the receivers are running. So then you can beat somebody over the top for a touchdown. This happened in the Swamp 2013 when Butch Jones trotted out Nathan Peterman, and it was the play that he broke his thumb. Or maybe that was the one he hurt his knee. I can't remember because he gets the snap. All the Florida players, wisely, are keying on the football because this is the SEC. Nathan Peterman rolls out, tries to throw it deep to Marquez North, gets killed, and they called offensive pass interference on Marquez North, negating the penalty that you got from Florida.
There was also another time where we thought the guy jumped, but the ref said he got back in time, so we're just not blocking at all on a live play. So they're coming at us, and it's basically a waste of the down at that point.
Unless the quarterback can throw a touchdown. It's Mickey Mouse. It's stupid stuff that you like stuff you waste incredible amounts of time on that don't help you win a football game, like lining Trey Smith up at receiver.
Yep.
But we can't get Tyler Bird in at corner. Sorry.
Captain go ahead.
What?
I was gonna say Captain Touchback tweets in and says Davey Hudson is a false starter. Isn't that a coaching issue? I have to blame you guys for that one then.
Buddy, you don't take coaching. Like, I would have benched you a long time ago if I had the choice.
When we come back, we'll get positive with things. We'll give you the 5.99% perspective. Wrap up the show. Final segment. 3 and Out coming back at you. Driven by Toyota Knoxville, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We use the term sheep to refer to Vol fans and really any fans that just will believe anything and just kind of, you know, head wherever they're herded by their shepherd. And we've even noticed lately the word narrative has been thrown out by Butch Jones and people that want to defend him at all costs. Well, it just depends on which narrative you believe. Like, does there really need to be a narrative? I don't really even think there needs to be. That's why we love sports, because there's no narrative. There's no script. It's not pre-scripted. And when the game is over, there's these things called record stats, wins and losses, and results. And so you don't need narrative. But some people, they're still going to write the story however they want to believe it. And so we've got some of those for you this final segment today on 3 and Out. Davey Hudson, you're up first with, what do we call this, Houston? Do we have a name for this yet?
Are you a Vol for life? That's what this segment's called.
All right.
Crank that tune, though, real quick. Oh, yeah. Crank it up a little bit. A little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more. All right.
You feeling it?
Yeah. Getting the jam. A little louder, actually. A little louder. We'll talk over it.
Yeah. Are you? Are you a Vol for life? Davey Hudson's up first today. Fire away.
Are you a Vol for life? Are you? Does anyone realize that for the first 2 years, Butch Jones had Derek Dooley's leftovers? Remember? 2 back-to-back 5-7 seasons when he got here. Does anyone remember in 2015 when we lost 3 SEC games by a combined 10 points, including a 19-14 game against Bama on the road? Does anyone realize we were going to compete for a national championship in 2016, but we lost 18 starters due to injury? And not just starters, some of them are best players on our team, including 2 captains. Does anyone realize why Kentucky, Missouri, and Vandy ran all over us last year? Because our defense was absolutely depleted. Kongbo was playing tackle. Butch ain't going nowhere. all y'all haters never liked him here from the rip, and that's why you're freaking out. Fess up. Leave him the hell alone, and we'll figure it out. Winning the East and beating Bama within 2 years, I back all our coaches and players 110%. Let's go, Vols. Beat UMass.
Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't break the cipher.
This is from Oscar on Facebook.
No!
Oh, God!
No, what? Don't give information!
No!
God,
what?
Man,
what?
Read!
That's the point!
No, it's not! Read!
Based on what I read, the main complaints about Coach Jones are 1, he's had enough time. 2, he's not Johnny Majors or fill-in-the-blank coach. 3, I don't like his coach speak or gimmicks. 4, he can't coach big games. 5, he'll never be better than 8-4. Let me address 1 and 2 together. It took Majors 7 years to win 9 games, and 9 years before we were ranked in the top 25 at the end of the season. 9 years to win the SEC. In his first 4 years, he won 21 games, 10 SEC games. Of course, that was a different era. So let's look at Spurrier at South Carolina. It took him 6 years before winning 9 games, 6 years before ending the season ranked, and he never won the SEC in 10 years. He won 28 games in his first 4 years, 15 SEC games, 4 against Dooley. Coach Butch Jones won 9 games in his 3rd and 4th years, and we were ranked in the top 25 3rd and 4th years. 30 wins total, 14 SEC. Looking at the numbers, he's ahead of Spurrier and almost any other coach that inherited a losing team. Number 3. So for those of you who don't like his coach speak or gimmicks, I guess you call General Nealon's game Maxim's coach speak. And the I will give my all for Tennessee today sign a gimmick. Guess what? Using slogans and symbols
is a way to
develop team. It's used in business, the military, and team sports. Number 4, he can't coach big games. Everybody has their own opinion. They're spelled incorrectly. I've seen more games lost on lack of execution or player mistakes than coaching. I don't agree with every call, but overall, I see more effort and discipline from his teams than most.
I'll give him effort. Number five,
for those of you who already know the future, quote,
Jesus, how many of these are there?
He'll never be better than 8-4. You should use your power to see into the future and buy a winning lottery ticket. Then you can donate $100 million to UT and they might listen to you. You're just being a troll, basing your self-worth on how many replies you can get. One of the biggest things Coach Butch Jones has done for UT is raising the APR. We were on the verge of sanctions, including loss of scholarships. Coach Butch Jones pulled out a miracle in that department. He also got Coach Fulmer back in the house. He has continually upgraded the coaching staff. I hate our last 3 losses to Florida. I think we were the better team. Last year's losses to South Carolina and Vanderbilt were bad, but overall, Coach Butch Jones has done a good job, and I think he can take us to the next level.
For all the fans that are bashing the coaches and team, you want to know why people are saying you're not a true VFL? It's because your actions are hurting the program and not helping the program. It makes our fan base look bad and unstable, which reflects to potential recruits. You're helping runoff recruits. You are hurting the team. You're not helping the team. A true VFL doesn't go out hurting the team. With the toxic environment here, it's going to be hard to get a great coach. It's fine if people want a new one, but all the negativity does is nothing but hurt recruiting. Sorry, I didn't have like a book that Nate wrote.
Sorry.
Just had a post.
You don't realize how long some of these are until you start reading them.
That's a good point.
It's like, man, this takes a while to get through. I was losing my voice. I was spitting everywhere. It was brutal.
Exactly. What they are doing doesn't help us. They don't have to like the coach, but you can't do this. You don't see big boosters who actually have the power to make a change bashing the team or booing them as they head to the locker room at halftime. No one did that. Some would rather drag the program down so they can bleep some more. It's the B word, not anything else. That'd be weird if it was anything but that one.
The general also... can't do that. The general backed up the Maxims with more than a shared Big East championship. That was a reply.
They're starting to turn.
Oh, my
goodness. They're starting to get... But if you're not a Vol for Life, you can just get the hell out.
Oh, man, are you a Vol for Life? I mean, as the Vol for Life dwindles to 5.99%, their defense becomes better and better. I can't – when it's 3%, man, these things are just going to be incredible.
Well, you know, it's year 5. It's tough.
It's tough to do.
It's tough to keep a program hot for so long. I mean, we got so hot there so fast. It was only natural that we'd flame out a little bit and, you know, have a tough season. you know, I mean, it's just tough.
Man.
James Johannes, thanks, man. Glad you enjoyed the we're gonna work on that. We're gonna tweak it up and make it really crisp. We're gonna have to do some more research and make sure we don't have Davey over there pressing too many buttons. We're gonna have to get that on a 9-minute loop and just roll it.
I found a 10-hour version, but I was like, it might be a little too much.
That's actually probably what we need. We could probably do 10 hours.
Oh yeah, just
of Are You Evolved for Life. But yeah, so that's gonna be the new thing we do is just make fun of all of the sheep that come up with just the bogus stuff. Because I mean, the best is the people that are already saying you're hurting recruiting when Tennessee's top five and the recruits are fine. Like, imagine what a coach could do if he was winning here. You know, winning big, winning the East, competing for the SEC championship. Imagine how he could recruit if Butch Jones is doing this with 9-4.
Tennessee tweeted in from our earlier conversation, Butch Jones is so bad that you guys have been expounding on how good a job Kirby Sport Clip Smart is doing in Georgia.
No.
Sad.
It's true. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, that's where we are. Like, the fact that Butch beat him is pretty crazy because, frankly, Kirby Smart's done some decent things already. Like, I'm not saying Kirby Smart's the answer for Georgia or the next great thing in the SEC, but the fact that he took a true freshman backup quarterback – to Notre Dame and won. I mean, that like I gotta give him credit for hiring
something.
I gotta give him some credit for having a staff and calling plays in a way that allowed that quarterback to be successful. Like they know now, okay, we're gonna protect from, we're gonna run the football, and we're gonna take our shots when we can. Something they did for the most part with Eason last year. And then when they had to, you know, when they got in a bind in some games, they just used Eason's arm to try to draw penalties. Like, at least you watch Georgia and the coaching makes sense.
And they're doing it with Derek Dooley's offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
think
yeah,
about that
yeah,
for
I
a
know,
second.
I know.
People have been trying to ask the question this week. Is Derek Dooley a better in-game manager than Butch Jones? Well, his offensive coordinator is at Georgia. And
we're
going to see them go toe-to-toe here in 2 weeks.
I mean, last year, I'm looking at their schedule. Like, I mean, they got blitzed by Ole Miss. That was a pretty weird game. I didn't expect them to get creamed like that. They beat South Carolina. They did have a weird loss to Vanderbilt, and they lost to Florida 24-10. I don't remember exactly what happened in that Florida game. And then, for some reason, I'm not seeing. Like, they did also lose to Georgia Tech, did they not? Yeah, they lost to Georgia Tech in the last game of the season. Which you now know that that's a pretty tough game on anybody's schedule when they got to play Georgia Tech.
It was
Tech.
A one-point game, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Or, yeah, or I don't know if it was 1 point, but it was
close.
Very close.
What the other thing to ask yourself too is, you know, Georgia never seemed to put together that one magical season under
it was 1 point
under Mark Richt. But Georgia fans are happier now with Kirby Smart, like with trying someone new,
right?
And Butch Jones hasn't won is so far below the level of excellence that Mark Richt established at Georgia, and their fans are still happier rolling the dice with a new guy. So wouldn't fans here be
And if you don't
happier?
Think that's true, like go watch that Notre Dame game and look at 50,000, well, I don't know if it's 50, but 50% of the fans in Notre Dame Stadium were Georgia fans coming off of a, what was it, 8-6 last year? Is that what they went? 8-5?
8-5, yeah.
An 8-5 year, and Georgia buys more tickets to a Notre Dame home game than Notre Dame fans. Like, I mean, they're excited, they're ready. And like, I'm not, like, Butch Jones had that. Like, he had the excitement last year. He had the excitement that Georgia has now last year. He had a better team last year than Georgia has now, and just couldn't get it done. So, I mean, like you've kind of seen it, and now I think you're coming down off of the plateau, and that's why people are frustrated, because you didn't take advantage of a great opportunity. And I don't know if Georgia's going to be able to take advantage of this. Like, I don't know that Georgia's suddenly going to surge ahead in the East, but what that tells me then is that your window's still open. That with the right guy in here, you can still claim the East, you know, for the next 10 years as the better program. You're not going to win it every year, but you could win, you know, 5 or 6 of them. Hell, Florida's won the last two. Bad Florida has won the last two. Like, it's possible. The window's still open. The window's not closed on this season either, but I think as we discussed earlier, it's hard to bet on the Vols right now. It's hard to bet on a Butch Jones coach team the rest of the way.
It's going
to
be exciting. I mean, maybe not this weekend as UMass rolls into town. They're atrocious, but that Georgia game, I got to admit, just talking about it a lot today, I'm getting excited for it because I just want to know what's going to happen. It's going to be incredible. And, you know, we'll be talking about it right here, Fox Sports Knoxville. For Houston, Davey, I'm Nate. Talk Sports with John Reed, Cody McClure up next right here. Stick with us on Fox Sports Knoxville.